Good on our baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. Hot on the heels of an 8-2 show on Friday. Big shout out to Roe and Hitman. They did most of the heavy lifting. They combined to go 5-0 with their picks on Friday. I went through 3-2 with mine, so a great show. So we're going to try to bring that winning energy right back into today. We have maybe our biggest show yet. I think it actually is. So we got a Monday Night Football game. Jason Logan's going to be along shortly to break that down, along with some hot topics in the NFL. That's going to be followed by Brad Powers in his traditional spot on Monday, where we look ahead to the week that is coming up in college football. And I'm happy to share that we will be adding an NBA segment to the tail end of every single episode of Before You Bet. John Mettler from Sportsbook Review will be joining me. We will be breaking down our best bets for NBA opening night, which is tomorrow night. That kind of snuck up on us, as well as some futures looks here for the season. So coming off of a winning day personally, but it wasn't really a winning night for me. It technically was from a betting perspective. I hit the first half over in my Miami Dolphins, Philadelphia Eagles bet there. That came through at the end, Tua on a deep ball to Tyreek. But I was on the wrong end for the first time of the tush push. Let's bring in my first guest here, Jason Logan, my co-worker here at Covers, to discuss the tush push. Now, you haven't been on the wrong end of it yet. You're a Cowboys fan. Of course, they have two games coming up against the Eagles. And here's what I'm going to say I get about the tush push. Mm-hmm. It's very annoying. It's working at about, a 95% clip. So, it is very, very annoying, but I do think it is a little bit of bullshit that people think that they should outlaw it or they shouldn't be able to do it. Just because the Eagles are so fantastic about it doesn't mean they should outlaw it. We saw the Dallas Cowboys try to do it last Monday night. I think it was one of the smaller players on the team was behind Dak trying to push him into the Colts or the Chargers defensive line there. So it is very, very, very annoying. But I don't think they should ban it by any means. So what are your thoughts on the tush push? We'll discuss that. Then we'll get into our picks for the Monday Nighter here.
Yeah, stop it. It's a legal play. Stop it. Try to stop it. And you can't. Their offensive line is really, really great at it. Jalen Hurts is a battering ram, and they have perfected that short yardage situation. So you don't like it, go out and stop it. Until then, shut up and take your medicine on third down.
We are aligned. We are often in disagreement, but we are absolutely. I didn't like it last night as a Miami Dolphins fan, but just learn how to stop it. So I will be in Philadelphia here in a couple of weeks. So I look forward to watching the tush push in person against your Dallas Cowboys. We'll see how that goes. Okay. Baby. So I don't know, not the most exciting looking Monday Night Football game here, but any game is exciting if you can bet on it. And of course, we're here to do exactly that. We have four total bets for 49ers versus Vikings. I will hit lead off J-Lo and I will get us started with a bet on the 49ers first quarter spread minus a point and a half at minus 108 odds. So check this out. The 49ers are 5-1 against the spread on the first quarter spread. The Vikings are 1-5 ATS on the first quarter spread. San Francisco has allowed 6 total first quarter points all season, outscoring their opponent 41-6 in the opening quarter of games. Minnesota, meanwhile, they've been shut out 4 times already in the first quarter of their games. Their offense really struggled without Justin Jefferson versus the Bears last week. Just 220 total yards of offense. Now they're facing the 49ers, who are coming off a loss. A great defense for the 49ers. 3rd in yards allowed per play. 5th in pressure percentage. Looks like a great spot for a fast start for the 49ers. So I'll take them to cover that first quarter spread. J-Lo, let's take a trip to Prop City because we have 3 combined. What's your first prop pick for the Monday Night Football game?
All right, I'm going to go to one of the other receivers. And I said the Monday night sky is missing a few stars in this game. We're seeing some guys missing for San Francisco. We're seeing Justin Jefferson still in the IR for the Vikings. So I'm with KJ Osborne, their other receiver out there, over 39.5 receiving yards, minus 110. As we started the show, this one's moving up to 41.5. Still, the 39.5 is out there. Go shop for it. But this one is ticking upwards. This is a guy that's getting extra snaps. He's getting extra targets with Justin Jefferson out of the lineup. He hasn't exactly made the most of them, but he has gone over his receiving yard total in five of the six games so far. He's left a lot of money on the table as well, too. He's tied for second in drops right now in the NFL. So, you know, just clean up those drop balls and you're adding some extra yards out there now. And then all of his player projections calling for 50 plus yards, ceiling closer to 59 yards. So I like what we're going to see from KJ Osborne in a game in which games the Vikes are going to be playing from behind with a bigger spread. So that means they're going to be passing a lot more opportunities for him to go over this receiving yard total again.
My long lost cousin, KJ Osborne. Okay. My favorite prop here, J-Lo. Let's take a little bit of a swing here. I'm going to take Brandon Ayuk, 100 or more receiving yards going off at odds of +230. I think it could be a big night for him. Brock Purdy's favorite target could be in for a heavier workload. Of course, no Debo Samuel, a beat up Christian McCaffrey, so his usage could be down in this one. Ayuk leads the 49ers in targets and has 150 more receiving yards than anyone else on the team. He's reached 100 yards twice already this season. And he's averaging 18.2 yards per reception. Now, Minnesota, they're getting burned by opposing wide receivers this season. They're among the worst in the NFL in receiving yards allowed per game, specifically to wide receivers. And they haven't played a whole lot of big-time wide receivers this season, but they did get burned quite badly by both Devonta Smith and Keenan Allen. So I'll take a shot on Ayuk burning them as well to go 100 or more, +230 odds. Okay, mm-hmm. J-Lo, bring it home for us. Your final pick for Monday Night Football here. What are we looking at?
Well, we're going with a little touchdown anytime. Let's get some TD celebrations going. And we're going with George Kittle to find pay dirt here for the Niners. +175 out there, as big as +175. Kittle kind of steps up in the offensive pecking order with Debo Samuel out. It does sound like CMC is going to play, but you know, if he's limited, if towards the end of the game, if they're up and they're going to rest him, Kittle's a guy that steps up and is going to get those touches. The Vikes right now, 26th in red zone defense in terms of touchdown percentage allowed, almost 67%. That includes three touchdowns of tight ends already this year. And Kittle, this is a guy that shows up on primetime. The last time he was underneath the lights, three touchdowns against my Cowboys. And of course, his holiday, National Tight Ends Day, was yesterday. It seems criminal that he has to play on Monday Night Football, but I think he puts a finishing touch to the tight end holiday with a touchdown here on Monday Night Football.
George Kittle. Okay, there you have it, our four best bets for Monday Night Football. Guys, if you're in the live chat right now, let us know what your best bets are for Monday Night Football, or if you're watching the replay, hit up the comments section. Let us know what you like and why you like it. Anthony Nazov, I think that's how you pronounce it. Probably not, in the live chat right now, asking TNF, any early picks? Not really. I'll have to dig into it. It's not the best looking game. Bucks versus Bills. Bills favored by 7.5. Total of 41.5. If I needed to blindly bet it right now, I would fire on that under. What about you, J-Lo, if you needed to blindly bet the Thursday nighter right now?
Well, I was getting ahead of my power ratings and kind of tinkering with the projected spread for this one. And it's very heavy towards Buffalo. And I've been especially down on the Bucks and especially down on Baker Mayfield. And that is a QB situation that's crumbling. They can't run the ball. They're not being able to pass the ball. So definitely doesn't lean into the under as well, too.
Yeah, the Bills are a little bit of an all or nothing team, it seems, this season. We saw them in week one versus the Jets, that stinker of a Sunday nighter against the Giants, the Patriots. Then they've beaten the living crap out of the Raiders, Commanders, and the Dolphins,
And one thing, too, is that they probably should have lost by more points to the Falcons, except for that Desmond Ridder casual stroll towards the end zone in which they popped it out of his hand. And then we had that the London play. Did he get in on I know they ruled him down at the one. You saw the pictures where he's flipped upside down. Did they get points out of that one afterwards?
I think so, yes.
Was it? So I know there was a lot of close goals, but that Ridder one was up, and I had Atlanta in the points. I was not happy with Desmond Ridder for his casual stroll towards the end zone. They poked it out. It was a touchback. They probably should have lost by more. So if that tells you something there.
Yeah, that's getting embarrassing for the Falcons. I'm on a lot of Falcons under so far this season. They probably shouldn't be hitting, but they keep turning it over in the red zone. Say, hey, yeah. I'll take it. I know they're playing the Titans this week, one of the lowest totals of the week. I think it's way down there at 37.
Possible Malik Willis sighting, right? Because we're not seeing.
Is that right? Okay.
Sounds like Tannehill's not playing. And if you bet Tennessee against the Ravens there in London, then you got to see Malik Willis at his finest on that 2-minute drill.
Yeah, how bad is Will Levis if Malik Willis?
That's the thing too. I've been kind of waiting for Ryan Tannehill to go down. And trade rumors. I heard some trade rumors that maybe King Henry to the Cowboys.
Okay, that'd be a big move. Okay, let's move into one of the segments we do here every Monday: a futures bet to make today. I'm going to get us started. I think this is an excellent time. There is no better timing than to bet the Baltimore Ravens to win the AFC North. It's at plus 115 over at DraftKings right now. And this number is only going to shrink. Hear me out. So they're a game up on the Steelers and the Browns as of today. And check out who all these teams play next week. The Ravens, one of the biggest favorites of the week here in week 8. They have a matchup on Dak in Arizona versus the Cardinals. Check out who the other teams in the AFC North play. The Browns play a tough game in Seattle. The Bengals play a tough game in San Francisco. The Steelers host a well-rested Jaguars team. All three of those teams are underdogs. Baltimore, obviously not. So a good opportunity for Baltimore to separate themselves from the pack a little bit. If they go on to win and all three of those teams end up losing, Baltimore is going to be a minus money favorite to win the AFC North. So I think at plus 115, a good opportunity. Now the rest of their schedule, kind of in the middle of the pack in terms of strength of schedule, they do have some tough games, but six of the remaining 10 games are at home. You take a look at their losses that they've had this season, Colts and Steelers. I think they beat themselves in both of those games. The Steelers, it was just a comedy of errors at the end of those ones. They won the yards per play battle in both of those games. They lost the turnover battle 5-1 in their two losses. And you look at the other teams in the division. I think the Bengals are an absolute mess. I know they beat the Seahawks their last time out and they are coming off a bye, but I do think Seattle outplayed them in that game. Do you trust Dinky Deshaun Watson in that situation with the Browns, whose defense looks kind of average all of a sudden, maybe? And J-Lo, the Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers are absolute frauds. They are the luckiest team in the NFL. They got lucky again yesterday.
Sure
did. Ravens to win the AFC North at plus 115. That price is only going to shrink. That's a good futures bet to make today. What's a futures bet you recommend placing today?
I like the New Orleans Saints as big as 2-1 to win the NFC South right now. Now, this price is a bit skewed because of all the Falcons liability that is baked into this futures market to win this division right now. So you're getting a few extra bonus cents with the Saints based on the amount of money that came in on Atlanta over the summer. They were the sharp darling this summer. They took a ton of money on them to win the NFC South, make the playoffs, over season win total, all those things. So we're getting a bit of a discount with the Saints already. This was as low as plus 105 entering the season. So again, compared to where it was to start the year to now, pretty good deal. The next three games between the Saints and the Falcons seem pretty balanced. They both have a bye in week 11. And then the home stretch of the season is going to give the nod to New Orleans. Now the Saints, they play at Atlanta in week 12. That's of course going to go a long way in determining this division, but then they have four of their final six games at home. And then the Saints don't face any winter weather as well too. This is a team that is an indoor team, but they skip over some of the winter weather. Their two road games are at LA and SoFi, covered in California. And then they're at Tampa Bay outdoors in week 17, no snow in the forecast, nothing like that. We look at the Falcons. Of course, they host New Orleans on week 12. Then they play four of their final six on the road, and they have winter stops at East Rutherford to play the Jets. They're at Carolina, which not necessarily is snow, but a lot of rain and wind that time of year. And then they're at Chicago, which can get real cold towards the end of the year. And as an indoor team, they're not going to like that. Week 18 finale, though, between these two teams is at New Orleans. It's the second straight road game for the Falcons. It's their third road game in 4 weeks when they come to play the Saints in New Orleans as well, too. So for me, I think the Saints have the inside track on this one, and getting them 2-1 to win the division title is pretty good. Like you said, the Falcons right now, I mean, can't. There's just the ugly wins as well, too, right?
Yeah, that division is very ugly, and I do like that spot for the Saints. I do. It's futures betting is all about timing, right? As we know, and the Saints kind of leaving people with a bad taste in their mouth after that Thursday night football game. So yeah, maybe that is a pretty good opportunity to hop on them right now. So let's talk a little week eight lines and some that we think could be worth hopping on right now. Brad Powers coming up momentarily to discuss a week ahead in college football, but let's take a look at the week ahead here in the NFL. So you guys know I like betting on totals. I'm pretty sure this is the lowest total of the season so far. Jets Giants. The Battle of New York. Total for this one is 36. And I love the under on that number. This one has baseball score written all over it. This is the trend that I was going off of this past week in a hit versus the Commanders. The under is now 18-4-2 in the Giants' last 24 home games. So that's been a fantastic bet in New York Giants home games. We'll see how the Jets look coming off of their bye. I just called the Pittsburgh Steelers the biggest frauds in the NFL. Some people would say that about my Miami Dolphins, too. I like the Jaguars as a 2-point favorite in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. The Seahawks hosting the Browns. What's going on with that Deshaun Watson situation? Apparently, they said he was good enough to go back into the game, but they didn't put him back into the game. He's making a lot of money to be standing on that sideline. So, yeah, I do like the Seahawks minus 2.5. I think that they're maybe a little bit better than their record indicates, even though they do have a good record. And I like the Lions minus 8 to really bounce back and absolutely destroy the Raiders. I think that's Monday Night Football, the next Monday Night Football game. The Lions are a good team, and we can discuss that a little bit. That's just a game. It just a game that totally got away from them. The wheels just fell off and it was just over very, very quickly. Now, I know you were on the Baltimore Ravens.
No, in that I was not. But I was on the Lions in that one.
Oh, I had the Lions. Plus. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. My bad.
I set you up for that one. Thanks for twisting the knife there, pal. Yeah, yeah.
So before we get into your look-aheads here for week eight, though, about the lot, what do you take away from that loss? You just scratch that one off and say, hey, that one got away from them?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it was definitely their. I went into that game and said this is going to be a very entertaining game, hoping it was going to be a very entertaining game. But it was the litmus test for the Lions to see if they were for real. And while they definitely get punched in the mouth right away, it threw them off. You know, it's still very telling about this team. They're not quite there yet, not ready to get over that hump. And you know, going into Baltimore and playing that team is a tough task. They're just not there yet, and we did see them fall short and well short. I had them in my underdogs column. I almost feel like it should take two losses. That's how bad they got their ass waxed. So definitely a little bit telling. I'm not as rah-rah. I'm not kneecap biting Dan Campbell right now about the Lions.
Give it to me straight about my Miami Dolphins. Now, they suffered a similar fate. Now, they didn't get their ass completely kicked by any means. The game, I think, was closer than the final score indicated. It was tied in the fourth quarter there at one point. But I came out of that game as a Dolphins fan. I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and said, you know, I don't necessarily feel too bad about that one. I would have liked them to get the win, to get rid of the talking point that they can't beat good teams. People forget that they had wins against the Bills and in Baltimore last season, by the way. But sometimes I think excuses are valid. 10 penalties to none. That was a little unusual. The Dolphins had a ton of injuries, especially on the offensive line. And I thought they were fairly competitive through three quarters of the game. But, you know, I am a bit biased as a Dolphins fan. So give it to me a bit straight. Are they complete and total frauds here or what?
No, I think they are what we thought they were. They're a very good offensive team. Their defense was able to bottle up some pop gun offenses. And then they ran into a team that could take advantage of their defensive shortcomings. And that's exactly what Philly did, especially with that drive. Was a third quarter or fourth quarter drive there. It took them like 8 minutes. They had those two fourth and ones. You know, that is prototypical Eagles attack in the second half. So that's what we've seen so far. I had Eagles over 26.5 on their team total. So I was happy about that. But, it was just banking on a situation where the Dolphins defense was a little fat and happy after beating up on some pretty bad teams. And I'm a guy that's high on the Eagles. So that's where I sit there. It didn't surprise me. Nothing comes out. My opinion of the Miami Dolphins does not change because of that one.
Brad's link doesn't work. Okay. Producer Mick just communicating a few things to us here. I was very proud of myself with my pick in that Dolphins game last night because I went back and forth, J-Lo. Do I bet the full game total or the first half total? Mm. And usually I'm like, nope, just stick to the meat and potatoes. Just take the full game bet. But I went back and forth and the trend was saying bet the first half total. So I went with that. And of course that hits in the final minutes of the first half. And the full game total should have went over. But just the way things worked out with the Dolphins having no timeouts, the time Swift went down with the ball with the 2 minute warning was they were just able to kneel it out. So I felt good about that one, but we've been dragging this out for a while. Your look aheads for week 8, what do you have on your eye here coming up?
Yeah. So I did the bet now, bet later thing on Sunday night where I look at the opening lines and tell you which ones you want to jump on now. And Jags -1 was one that I did jump on, saying I think anything under 3 in this game is pretty good. Now the Jaguars do have, it is kind of a tough situational spot for them because they had the 2 games in London. They didn't get the customary bye. They come home, they play Colts. And then they were back on the road last week on a short week. They get a kind of 10-day hiatus, but then they're back on the road here in Pittsburgh, and it's their 4th road game in 5 weeks. There's a bye, an oasis just on the other side of the Steelers here. So I was a little hesitant to say, okay, Jags in this one. But like you said, the Steelers just getting lucky, getting, absolutely out yarded. And they're 4 wins, and I did the math on it last night here. Where did I do them? They've been out yarded by more than 70 yards per game. And they've won those games, which is wild. But it's those turnovers, it's the pressure. But the Jags playing some fantastic two-way football right now in this 4-game winning streak. So I like them -1. -1.5 is still out there. There's some 2s and 2.5 starting to pop up. Anything under 3, I think, is live for Jacksonville. And then the other one that I bet was over for Kansas City and Denver. Because we saw these teams play, 2 weeks ago? That was it? Yeah. And it was kind of a dud on Thursday Night Football. I think it was like a 19-8 win. KC just covered the 10.5. We remember that. Don't put a whole lot of weight into Thursday Night Football results. They're wonky. They're weird. They are what they are. No team really wants to be there. But what we really saw from Kansas City this week was the return of that offense. Mahomes spreading the ball around, 10 different guys catch a pass. This is a receiver's room that was in the doghouse for the most part. And so I think that Kansas City offense is back and chugging. They're taking on what is a terrible Broncos defense. And then what I will say for the Denver offense is, it's a little better than we expected. It's kind of middle of the road and a lot of stats out there. So I think they're going to be able to put up some points in this one, but definitely this one was 45.5. It got up to 46.5. If we look back at week 5 was the Thursday Night Football game. I want to say week 5, week 6. Anyway, that one, it opened 50.5 and closed 47.5. So that's where that number was. So I think there's going to be plenty of scoring, or at least enough to get us over 45.5, over 46.5 in this one. Anything under that key number of 47, I think, is a good over bet right now. But this one's going to continue to go up.
All right. There we have it. The over for Kansas City versus Denver. Okay, J-Lo, we will leave it at that. We kept you on a little longer than we appreciate today, but it's always awesome talking football with you again. Best of luck with your bets tonight. Best of luck with your handicapping this week as well. I will see you on the Sharp 600 on Wednesday, and I will see you again back here on Monday.
All right. Thanks for having me, Joe. Good luck.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay. Let us shift gears. Bring in our guy, Brad Powers, down there in sunny Las Vegas. We're scrambling behind the scenes here today, sending Brad a bad link, but we figured it out. Shout out to producer Mick. Brad, how are we making out today?
Hey, doing well. Shout out to Mick as well. Thank you guys for that. Sorry about that.
Oh, no sweat, man. So I like the hat. Let's talk a little Alabama football here before we get into your early picks. We have 4 of them. So we check out the situation for them. People were down on them for a lot of the season. Now they're getting some positive vibes, I guess you could say. 6 straight wins since that loss to Texas. including separate 14-point wins over both Ole Miss and Tennessee. LSU on deck coming up in their next game, a loss from last season that they will be looking to avenge. So we see them now on the National Championship Futures Odds Board, tied with Oklahoma in the ballpark of 14-1 to win the whole damn thing. So two questions about Alabama. Do you think they get into the playoff is question number one. Question number two, how do you think they'd fare head-to-head in an SEC championship game against Georgia?
Yeah, so loaded question. I'll say this. I think in a normal year, I would say no. I don't like that this year's Alabama team isn't strong enough for me to say, hey, they got a shot to win the SEC and go win two games in the playoff because the teams are too strong. This year's different, though. I don't think there is a dominant team. Maybe Michigan is that team, but again, Michigan hasn't played really anybody yet, so we don't know how Michigan would look against a top 10 opponent. So, no, they're just as alive as their 10, 12 other teams are right now in the mix as far as college football. And I haven't been able to say that in any season for at least 15 years as far as that, having that many teams that are legitimate playoff contenders and legitimate chance of winning one or two playoff games. Alabama's path. It's not the easiest, but it is also going to see Alabama favored in all their remaining regular season games. They get the all-important game against LSU at home. They're not going to be a significant favorite. You're looking at Alabama probably in that 3 to 4 point range as far as a home favorite in that one. And then if Alabama were to go play Georgia in an SEC championship game, some of it's dependent if Brock Bowers is back for Georgia. He's a guy that's worth a point, point and a half to the point spread. But let's just say Brock Bowers is out. Georgia would still be a 3 or 4 point favorite against Alabama in an SEC championship game.
Okay, moving on. Let's take a look at the Heisman race. It's really heating up right now. Big shakeups on the odds board here the past couple of weeks. Caleb Williams, you came on last week and you said you think he lost it in that game against Notre Dame where he threw three interceptions. He's way down to 80-1 to win the award. We have a new favorite, though. J.J. McCarthy, the new favorite over Penix Jr. Mervin Harrison Jr. getting into the mix as well. You can find him at 20-1. He went off for 162 receiving yards against Penn State. So anything on the Heisman Futures odds board standing out to you right now?
Well, it's pretty much waving in the wind. I mean, a drastic change as far as the odds board. I did come on the show a couple weeks ago and say J.J. McCarthy might be worth a look. Because Michigan was playing so well, 30-1 just a couple weeks ago. Obviously, you can't find that now, but looking ahead, I mean, he's going to have two big high-profile games against Penn State and Ohio State. Michigan will be favored in both. So I understand the movement there. I'm not sure that Michael Penix's bad game off a big win against Arizona State should automatically drop his odds as much as they did, but we'll see. He's also got a lot of big games down the stretch. There's one quarterback that I think people need to be looking out for. It is Jaden Daniels for LSU. Big game against Alabama next week. The whole world will be watching that game. I think LSU's offense is going to have some success in that game against Alabama's defense. If Jaden Daniels, the quarterback for LSU, goes in to Bryant Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa and they upset, won't be a big one, but it'll still grab a lot of people's attention, he'll be in the mix as far as being at least a finalist for New York. So that would be the one that I'd make right now, Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback.
Yeah, futures betting all about timing. Now might be the time to make that bet. Okay, so let's get into some of these games coming up this weekend. Bets that you recommend placing today. Iowa State taking on Baylor, a 1.5 spread in this one. What side do you like?
Like Iowa State, the road favorite here. I love this comparison as far as data points. You don't get this too often in college football. Both of these teams, Iowa State and Baylor, both their last game was a game at Cincinnati. And I just love comparing what happened in those two games. Both teams won at Cincinnati. Both teams pulled an upset at Cincinnati. But disparate box scores. Iowa State deserved to win that game, significantly so. They outgained Cincinnati by 150 yards, dominated Cincinnati. Baylor last week just pulled an upset against Cincinnati. Another phony final for Baylor. They got a fluke touchdown off of a fumbled kickoff where it bounced off a guy and the guy picked it up and returned it for a touchdown. So they scored two touchdowns in a matter of 10 seconds and they won a game by three. So I'm not buying this Baylor team. Keep in mind, They also had a dramatic comeback from Central Florida. Other than the fourth quarter and a fluke touchdown against Cincinnati, this could be a one-win team. And then what's the point spread for this game? It's at least three for Iowa State. So I'm always, you know, change one play in one game. Does that alter the point spread significantly? If it does, I like fading those narratives. So Iowa State for me, let's lay the 1.5.
Okay, next up we have a monster spread. Pittsburgh is a 19.5 point underdog versus Notre Dame. Do you think the Fighting Irish cover the big number here?
No, I don't. So two fluky finals as far as these two teams' last games, creating some value here on Pittsburgh. I'll give you one, though. I'm not a big series history guy, but I've been watching this series my entire life being a former Notre Dame fan. 13-2. Last 15 times Pittsburgh has played Notre Dame. Doesn't matter the coaches. Doesn't matter the players for each team. 13-2. That is Pittsburgh's record against this number. Notre Dame hardly ever gets margin against Pittsburgh, at least series history. But as far as this year's teams, let's talk about it. Notre Dame beat USC by 28 in their last game. Phony final. They were +5 in turnovers. Got out game. Get, you know, got a kick return touchdown. So were they better than USC? Yes. Were they four touchdowns better than USC? No. Pittsburgh, if you watched over the weekend, had a really questionable officiating call that would that basically lost them the game. If they don't call the quarterback down as far as where he slid, if they just rule it where, you know, it looked like he got the first down, Pittsburgh's able to run out the clock. That would have made two straight wins for them with a brand new quarterback. And I think there'd be a lot more positive energy around this Pittsburgh team. So I got to ask yourself this again. If you change that officiating call, what's this point spread if Pittsburgh's off two wins? I don't think it's 19.5. Therefore, I see value here in Pitt +19.5.
Okay, Pitt to keep that one from getting too out of hand. Next up, we have California. They are a double-digit underdog as well, an 11-point dog taking on USC. Who do you like here?
I like Cal +11. I'll just start it with the biggest disparity in rest this week in college football is Cal off a bye against USC playing a sixth straight week and a third straight big game. Honestly, a sixth straight big game for them because they play down to the level of all their opponents. The Arizona State game was a game that went down to 60 minutes. The Colorado game, they're blowing out Colorado, came down to a recovered onside kick. Then they, you know, go double overtime, USC I'm talking about here, against Arizona. Probably should have lost that game. Get blown out against Notre Dame. Lose to Utah in a 60-minute game on the final play. How much energy does this team have left? And also, is there a dream crusher, a bubble burst? You're not going to the playoffs now with two losses. You're probably not going to the Pac-12 championship game. What is the mentality of this fragile state or program? Meanwhile, Cal off a bye. Last time they probably ever play USC because Cal's off to the ACC. USC's off to the Big Ten. I think they'll be hyped up atmosphere here. Cal +11 for me. I think they're live. I think they win the game outright.
Where do you stand on some people saying Caleb Williams should just sit out at this point since USC probably has not a whole lot to play for anymore?
I mean, it's just, I'm not that type of person. I mean, win or lose. I mean, I'm not having a good year on this show. I still, you know, come on and do the show, give out my opinions, bring some energy to it, at least as best as I can. So I'm just, you know, you want to wave the white flag. I mean, okay, fine, wave the white flag. But I would hope that he pays back all his NIL endorsement deals for the rest of the year. I'm sure that's not going to be the case. So play. I mean, last I checked, you get hurt in practice. You can get hurt walking down the street. I mean, you're signed up to play football at a big time school like USC. Go play, man. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't been impressed with it. His, regardless of the last couple of weeks, even before that, if you looked at body language, you looked at fundamentals, you looked at his just mechanics, they're not there compared to last year. Just looks lazy, sloppy.
Yeah, he fumbled in the bag a little bit here. A bit of a, you call it the stretch run of his college football career before he enters the NFL as the definitive number one guy, and it has not.
Oh, I don't. Been you know what? He'll be number one. I wouldn't put him number one. I wouldn't draft him number one. There's your hot pick.
You're hearing some whispers. Who would you pick number one then?
It's going to depend on how they finish. Drake May or JJ McCarthy. I think. Okay. I'll tell you what. You want an odds? Go look up and see what J.J. McCarthy could get number one, being the number one pick. He's a guy a lot of people are going to be talking about now, from now until the end of the season. Because I got a sneaky suspicion Michigan might win the national title. And if he's performing at a high level in the most high-leverage games of the season, people are going to love that. They're going to love the arm talent.
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy, worth their look maybe. Caleb Williams, you know, came out last week that he might want equity in the team of whoever drafts him. I'm sure the veterans on the team would love that. You know, the young guy coming in who's never played a snap in the NFL being an owner on the actual team. So that was a bit silly. Let's wrap it up with one last pick, though. Tennessee and Kentucky, a 3.5-point spread there. Which side do you like in that matchup?
Yeah, I like the road favorite, Tennessee. We're going to lay the 3.5. I made it 4.5. Simple power rating. Also, matchup-wise, Tennessee the last couple years has really been a bad matchup for Kentucky. Kentucky's just an overrated team that had a hot start due to a weak schedule. Got exposed by Georgia. Missouri then went in there and beat the tar out of them. So Tennessee, very similar team power ratings-wise to Missouri. In fact, even better. So Tennessee for me, -3.5. We'll keep that one simple.
Okay, there we have it. 4 total picks from Brad. And Brad, we will leave it at that. We thank you very much for joining us on the show today. It's always great talking college football with you. Best of luck with your handicapping the rest of the week, and we will catch you again on Thursday's show.
Thanks for having me, as always, Joe.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, long show today, and it's about to get even longer because we are about to switch gears for the first time in the history of Before You Bet. We're talking NBA. The season starts tomorrow, so let's bring in my next guest, NBA betting analyst over at Sportsbook Review, John Mettler. He will be joining me 3 times a week on this show. Kelly Olynyk, prop betting specialist as well. I don't think he has any Kelly Olynyk stuff for you, but John, how you doing? The season kind of crept up on us a little bit, eh?
Not for me. I've been waiting all summer for the NBA to come back, so I'm super excited that it's here. Also, I just went and quickly looked. J.J. McCarthy is 40-1 to be the first quarterback or the first overall pick. So I was so glad you asked the whole question. I was like, can you ask him who he thinks it will be?
Yeah, well, yeah, he teed me up for that. And, you know, it's NBA, not my first rodeo here. So, yeah, I got a J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, it might be worth a look. Okay, so let's talk NBA. So what we're going to do opening night tomorrow night, there's 2 good games. The NBA always kills it with their opening night. They always give us a couple great matchups. And then we're going to talk some big picture futures and then a couple sneaky looking futures bets that you have your eye on. So let's get into the bets for opening night. I'm going to hit lead off for us. And I'm going to take the Golden State Warriors to cover the 1-point spread. They are a 1-point favorite at home versus the Phoenix Suns tomorrow night. And this is a true home court advantage that they have. They have an NBA best 79% home win percentage over the last 2 seasons. Last season, they started 17-2 on their home court. And check out the 2 teams here. We have some pretty significant contrast with the rosters here. We have the continuity of Golden State versus too many new pieces for Phoenix, including a new head coach. Kevin Durant hasn't even played 20 games as a Phoenix Sun yet. So I think they're going to be good, absolutely, but I think it's going to take some time for them to get going, and they will not get going in this environment in Golden State. And I think that this spread, John, is disrespectful to the Golden State Warriors. A 1-point spread. Check them out last season. Last season, we saw them as a favorite in the playoffs at home by upwards of 8 points in a game versus the Lakers, by upwards of 7.5 points at home versus the Kings in the playoffs. They played a healthy Bucks team in March. They were favored by 3.5 in that one. So way too much respect for a Suns team that's brand new. Most of these guys haven't played in a game together that's counted. So I think this is a great spot to jump on the Warriors. A lot of hype around the Suns, who eventually will be pretty good, but I think it might take them some time to get going. So my best bet for opening night in the NBA, I like the Warriors to cover that single point spread. Let's take a trip to Prop City for your 2 bets of the night. And let's start with the first game of the night. The Lakers in Denver take on the defending champion Nuggets, and you are fading the King, LeBron James. Tell us a little bit about it.
I know. When I placed that bet this morning, and when I was writing it, I was like, I can just hear my editors being like, nobody wants to place an under bet on LeBron James, but they need to take that up with FanDuel because they put his total at 24.5 points. And we're seeing there was some 22.5 out there. It's moved up to 23.5, but there's almost everyone's at 23.5 and FanDuel's the only one at 24.5. And that point makes a huge difference here, especially since at FanDuel, it's -115 for the under 24.5. And at the most of the other sites, it's like -120, -125. So not only are you getting a full more extra point, you're getting even better juice. But aside from the number itself, you know, there's also factors from like the basketball side of things. When you watch the Western Conference Finals, Aaron Gordon was a nightmare for LeBron James. Aaron Gordon's big, he's fast, he can hold him in the post, he's athletic. You know, they also, I think Michael Malone made it, when you go back and watch the Western Conference Final, Michael Malone made it very clear that Anthony Davis can beat them, but LeBron James can't. And whenever LeBron James got the ball in the post on someone that wasn't Aaron Gordon, they were sending doubles. When it was Anthony Davis, they were kind of letting him play one-on-one and they weren't helping off of James. They clearly want to make James a passer. And with the under 24 and a half available at FanDuel, I like that number.
Okay, next up, you have a prop bet, maybe something a little under the radar on one of the newest members of the Phoenix Suns, Bradley Beal. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, if you follow my prop bets, get used to the assist market because that is by far my favorite market. I played point guard growing up, so it just kind of vibes with what how I watch the game and stuff. But Bradley Beal was consistently someone I thought was underrated last year in the assist market. I played a bunch of overs on him. But when he was with the Wizards, we were looking at like 5.5 minus 130 for the over, 6.5 maybe plus money minus 110. So the fact that he's with the Suns, his number will be, he's not going to be on the ball as much, but the number's adjusted here, right? It's 4.5 over, it's plus 110. In the preseason, we saw a lot of Devin Booker, Kevin Durant pick and rolls with kind of Beal more in the corner. He will have the opportunity to be a primary ball handler, not as much with the Wizards. But there were, he's not just a shooter. When they go straight to the corner, he's not just a spot-up shooter who's going to just take that shot. He was penetrating off the baseline a lot. And once you, you know, once you guard the action of the pick and roll, Beal catches it in the corner. Now the defense is already moving and he's penetrating. There was so many easy dump offs to teammates. I think this 4.5 is, I don't think we'll see it for very long. I think this will be 5.5 much quicker than it's weird because he's not, he doesn't have the same ball handling responsibilities with the Suns, but the offense he's playing in could get him a lot more assists than it did with the Wizards.
Yeah, no true point guard there, like you say. So I think the Suns, it could take some time to figure that out. That's one of the reasons why I like the Warriors to cover that very modest spread, only favored by 1 point. It is very disrespectful. Okay, so let's talk NBA Finals here. You take a look at the top of the odds board. Depending on where you shop, the Bucks and Celtics, they're either going to be tied or they'll have one of them over the other as a favorite. Then you have the Nuggets, the Suns, Lakers 1200, the Warriors 13-1. Then you have don't waste your money on the 76ers. Do not waste your money on the Clippers. You trust Kawhi Leonard to play an entire playoff series? Absolutely not. Maybe you could argue some value on a team like the Dallas Mavericks. And again, do you trust Kyrie Irving? Not really. And then the Miami Heat 20-1. My pick, John, not really going out on a limb here. I'm going to take the Celtics to beat the Lakers in the NBA Finals. And of course, everyone's going to say the NBA picks it so that we would have that matchup. But there's way too much to like about the Celtics here. This is a battle-tested team that's had deep playoff run after deep playoff run. And now they've elevated the roster quite a bit with a higher level of, I guess you would call them secondary players in Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. If you have Porzingis as your fourth best player, I think that's pretty good. If Porzingis is your second best player, hey, you're going to be in trouble. But I think that's a pretty good role for him. You have Tatum as a top five player in the NBA. He's probably only going to get just a little bit better with each passing season. Jaylen Brown just signed that big contract. People forget, you know, everyone made fun of him because he couldn't go left or whatever last year. He had that weird hand injury last year too. So maybe a little bit of an excuse for him. And I do think, you know, they had a really weird coaching situation where Joe Mazzulla needed to step in. And it was clearly over his head at times. So I think that experience last year is only going to help him. Some of those inefficiencies he'll be able to come. He does have a lot of help. Brad Stevens, Jeff Van Gundy in the front office now. So yeah, I like the Celtics quite a bit. You take a look at the rest of the East. They're the least flawed team of the other contenders in the Eastern Conference. Who knows with the new coaching situation for Milwaukee. Chris Middleton seems to be going downhill. Can we trust Damian Lillard to stay healthy all season as well? Don't even get me started on the Philadelphia 76ers. They're not going on a deep playoff run by any means. James Harden already killing that team and the season that hasn't started. And for the Miami Heat, how long can Miami keep getting by like this? Yes, they are the best coach in the team, but they don't have the same level of talent that the other teams do. So would I be shocked if the Heat make a deep playoff run? No. But, you know, they went on and tried to get Lillard to add him and try to make a bit of a big three, but they didn't do it. As for the Lakers, I love the depth that they have on their team. They added a lot of nice pieces here. They know how to manage a roster and how to navigate the regular season. Now, during the regular season, I don't think they're going to be great. I think they're going to be a good regular season team. You're going to see Anthony Davis and LeBron get a ton of rest. They're just happy to get into the playoffs. We saw that last season, the play-in run. They were a play-in team and then went all the way to the Western Conference Finals. They'll probably do a little bit better than that, maybe get like the sixth seed. But yeah, Celtics over Lakers in the NBA Finals is my official pick for this upcoming season. Who are you picking to win the NBA Finals this year?
Yeah, I'm half agree with you, but my champion's coming from the West. I'm actually going with the Suns. I think it'll be the Suns over the Celtics. I do like the Celtics much better than the Bucks with a lot of things you highlight too. I think with the Celtics, you kind of like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are both very good, but they also need like different offense. And I think they addressed that with Porzingis, which I think will make them a lot more versatile in offense. And the versatility in offense is another reason why I do like the Suns. It's kind of funny because when they trade for Beal, like 2 days after the NBA Finals ended, I was a hater. I didn't like it at all. And they were plus 650 then to win the NBA Finals. And I didn't think they'd be able to fill out the roster with enough depth to even make that work. And now we're 3 months later and my opinion's completely changed. A lot of it did change when they traded DeAndre Ayton. I think bringing in Yusuf Nurkic and Nasir Little and Grayson Allen. I feel like Grayson Allen, I'm a North Carolina fan, so it kills me to give him praise because he's from Duke. But like Grayson Allen was starting on the Milwaukee Bucks last year. He shot 40% from three. He's not even just a shooter in the corner. Kind of the same thing I was talking about with Beal. Like when they run, like you think if you have a Booker Durant pick and roll and you can go either way and you have Beal and Allen in both corners as shooters, but they can both drive and create even more offense than that. I just really think the Suns filled out their roster with people who are okay with being role players, which I think is – like Josh Okogie, Jordan Goodwin, these guys want to play defense. And I really like that aspect. They're also older kind of role players. And I think they know their best chance to stay in the NBA is to be a really good defender as a role player on a team like this. So I think it's going to work. I did bet the Suns plus 650 to win the NBA Finals yesterday, actually. So
yeah, their lack of depth really caught up to them in the playoffs last year. I find they're kind of built like those LeBron Cavalier teams a little bit. You know, you got the couple of big guys, big time players, and you have some older veterans who are in there just to have one specific role. So like I said, I think the Suns get off to a slow start, but over the course of the season, they will put it together. So let's whip through a couple of season-long futures bets that you like. An over-under, so I talked about how I think the Lakers just have a good regular season, not a great regular season. You like them to go under their win total. Tell us why.
Yeah, preach. Same thing you said. I just don't think this team is interested in, they're not trying to win 50 plus games. That's not who they are with LeBron James at this point in his career. I bet them under 48.5 wins, but this was back in like July. It's more 47.5 now. So it's not, that number's not really available anymore. It was a weird number when it was open. It was just that one sports book. They won 43 last year to get to 49 to go over six more wins. I mean, I like the additions. They can have 47, 48, just not 49. But it's just not, I just don't think that's, they're going to rest players. I think they're going to utilize that depth you're talking about that they added. So, and they also play in the Pacific Division where all five teams are literally competing with NBA Finals. You got to play four games against each. A 48.5 is different for the Lakers versus a 48.5 for someone else. One team I did play over is the Atlanta Hawks. I went over 41.5 on their win total. I grabbed at 41.5 minus 115. If you go quickly through the market, it looked like it's not available. It's moved up to 42.5 in a lot of spots, but at DraftKings, they have like a slider you can move to get alternate totals. They have over 42.5 minus 115, over 41.5 minus 120. That makes no sense. So it is still kind of available. And I would definitely take that minus 120 still, even though I got a minus 115. That is pretty much the only spot you'll be able to grab the 41.5 with good juice.
All right. A little bit of love for Trae Young and the boys down in Atlanta. Yeah, and bring it home for us. One of your favorite season-long award bets. Who are we betting on here?
Yeah, we'll go long shot to make it fun. Jonathan Kuminga, yes. Sixth man of the year. So if you watch preseason, he's been one of the leading scorers. He's 21. It's his third season. That's insane that he's still 21. He looks like crazy explosive. I mean, Jordan Poole was 20 points off the bench. He's gone to Washington. So immediately there's opening for bench scoring. Chris Paul comes in, but Chris Paul's not a scorer. Chris Paul is a facilitator. So if anything, Chris Paul is just going to help Kuminga score more points kind of idea. And I think that's something you're definitely going to see. I was debating back and forth between most improved six man. I just like six man. They're pretty much the same odds when I was looking. He just doesn't have, Kuminga doesn't have to compete against as many people, maybe like 10, 15 people in six man award. Most improved, you're literally going against the entire NBA. I bet at 70-1 last week. There's still 50-1 at FanDuel. You didn't miss it. I would grab the 50-1 because I think that will be, I mean, even after tomorrow's game, if he comes off the bench and drops 20, that number will be long gone.
Okay, tell me what you think of this bet before we let you go. Jakob Poeltl, most improved player in the NBA, parlayed with Jakob Poeltl, most rebounds in the NBA. What do you think of that one?
I always laugh at those props you post on Twitter for him. I will say their coach is talking about putting him at the high post and having him facilitate more. So watch those assist props for Jakob Poeltl to start the season. I know they were like 2.5, 3.5 last year, and he actually hit a couple for me. So if they are going to use him as more a facilitator, that those numbers could be way off on him.
There we have it. Jakob Poeltl prop betting analysis here on Before You Bet. You will not get that on any other show. That's what John Mettler from Sportsbook Review brings to the table for us. John, tell the people where they can find more of your work or where they can find you at on social media.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. Very simple. It's just my name, John Mettler. And I write NBA content every day at sportsbookreview.com. So you can check me out there.
Okay, there we have it. John, we will let you go. We wish you best of luck with your bets tomorrow night and for your season-long futures. And we will catch up with you again on Thursday, where we will once again dig into our best bets for the NBA.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
Yes, sir. The man right there. My God. We're setting records here Before You Bet. This is the longest show in show history. Before we let you go, if you're just tuning in now and you want bets for Monday Night Football, let's recap the ones that we gave out off at the top of the show. Jason Logan gave out two props. He likes KJ Osborne over 39.5 receiving yards. He likes George Kittle to get into the touchdown at plus 175. My best bets for this one, 49ers first quarter minus a point and a half. They've only allowed 6 points in the first quarter this season. The Vikings have been shut out in the first quarter in four of their six games. I'm going to take a little bit of a swing here. Brandon Ayuk, 100 or more receiving yards, plus 230. If you're looking for picks for Major League Baseball, I dropped a few on my Twitter feed this morning. I like Aaron Nola to go over strikeout total. I like the Astros in the first five innings. I do not trust Max Scherzer in a big spot at all. Okay, that does it for today's show. Guys, if you like the show, it's easy to let us know. Just hit the like button right down there. You can also subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel. You see that fancy graphic there that we spent thousands of dollars on. Subscribe to the channel. We got great content here for everything that there is to cover in the world of sports betting. That does it for today, but we will see you again on Thursday. Same time, same place. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We'll see you next time.